Turning them to the book of Joel, Joel the second chapter, and in your Scofield Reference Bible, page 932, we'll be reading in unison verses 28 and 29. Joel chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. And as is our custom here to do, let's all stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Begin with me, please, with verse 28, and we'll read it together. Ready? And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my Spirit. And let's pray. Father, meet with us now. We trust Thee to meet with us in Spirit's power, that Thou wouldst bless in this place. It's a heavy responsibility that is upon the shoulders of the preacher. We trust you to speak through him and bring to us that which is needed by so many people in this room. And so grant thy power and thy help. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, this will not be a spectacular pastor school, maybe, as you've attended before. But this will be one that means probably more business, as much business as any other. I feel that fundamentalism has come to a certain place in America where we need to take stock. We have come from storefront buildings and attic buildings and tents and sawdust to where now in most of the towns and cities in America, the fundamentalist church is pretty well off. And we may have to say, as the Pope said to Marcus Aquinas one time, Thomas Aquinas, the Pope said as he toured the Vatican and showed Thomas Aquinas the wealth of the Vatican, he said, Mr. Aquinas, no longer does the church say, silver and gold have I none. And Thomas Aquinas said, yes, and no longer can the church say, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise, take up thy bed and walk. We have come to the place where we need to stop and think about a few things, and this week we're going to really dig deeply. And I'm going to talk to you numbers of times, again and again this week, about the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to bring any earth-shaking message tonight, and I'll save the heavier Holy Spirit messages for later. But I want to give you tonight a little Bible study message that, if you'll let it, it'll change your life. It really will. Not because I'm a good preacher, but I want to give you a truth, and I'd like for you not to take any notes. I want you just to hear what I've got to say. We're dead serious this week, and we honestly and sincerely feel that we have something to give you that we all need. You need not turn to it again, but I'd like to read it again. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit, Holy Spirit of God, in these moments. What folly it would be if I spoke of thee and did not have thee in power. O God in heaven, speak through these lips of clay. I'm not a great preacher. I'm not real eloquent. I'm not really a brilliant person. But I can yield. And you said, I'll pour water on him who's thirsty. You didn't say, I'll pour water on him who's handsome. You didn't say, I'll pour water on him who's strong. You didn't say, I'll pour water on him who's healthy. You didn't say, I'll pour water on him who's brilliant. You said, I'll pour water on him who's thirsty. And I can be thirsty. And so I ask you to anoint this simple, poor country preacher in these moments to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I want to talk to you tonight, line upon line and precept upon precept. I'm beginning to pay a debt I owe to my country. I have sinned for numbers of years. I did not do it on purpose. I did not know that I was doing it. I had no intentions of doing it. But I have sinned in one phase of my ministry. And I owe a debt, and I'm going to begin tonight in the paying of that debt to my country. 49 states, 11 foreign countries in this room tonight. And I want you to hear me so I can pay the debt justly, or at least begin paying it justly. I want to speak tonight on the subject, the layman and the Holy Spirit. The layman and the Holy Spirit. Years ago, 30 odd years ago, when I was just a kid preacher, I had been preaching for several years, but I had never one time in my life ever spoken a word to the Holy Spirit. I had read the scripture that says, pray ye the Lord of the harvest, but I had never done so. I knew that He indwelt me. I knew that He lived in me. I knew Romans 8, 9, and 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20, and 2 Corinthians 3, 16, and so forth. I knew all those. And I had even taught Bible studies that the Holy Spirit indwelt the believer. But I had never one time even said, good morning, Holy Spirit. I never one time in my life ever stood up and said, Holy Spirit, I love you. Never. Not one time. And yet, He had indwelt me, lived in me for these years. And I not once had ever spoken to Him or addressed Him. One morning, early in the morning, I was preaching on a radio broadcast. I was preaching on the old-time religion broadcast from the empty auditorium of the church, country church, a small-town church where I pastored. Nobody was in the auditorium. It was early in the morning. I'd gone to the church to preach on the broadcast. I was going to go home for breakfast and then come back to work. It was, I guess, must have been 6 o'clock in the morning. I was standing in the empty auditorium behind the pulpit, and I had my coat sort of draped over my shoulder like that. And I had my tie sort of like that, and had it pulled over just about maybe like that. And I was preaching. You know, a radio preacher can dress like he wants to. You won't believe this, but it's true, Scout's Honor. I saw Lester Olof one day in Corpus Christi, Texas, broadcasting with his bathrobe on and his house shoes on, laying down flat on the floor with his feet up against the wall, singing, they came and they were blessed, and it gave the weary rest. Well, Brother Jack, and I saw him. And I was preaching on the broadcast and had my coat like this and my tie like this. And I said, folks, I said, God's with you wherever you are today. I said, the Holy Spirit is there. He's with you. He sees you. He knows what you're doing. He hears what you say. He sees how you're dressed. And all of a sudden, He became real. And for the first time in my life, I realized that a person lived in me. And I began to tremble. And I tried to continue. But I pulled my coat up like this, and I straightened my collar and my tie, and finished broadcasting, trembling, realizing for the first time in my life that since I had been an 11-year-old lad, when I received Christ as my Savior, there had been somebody living inside of me to whom I had never one time spoken. When I finished that broadcast, I got on my knees behind the pulpit and I said, Holy Spirit, lead me to know what route I ought to take home this morning. I'm no spiritual giant, but I could count on the fingers of those two hands the numbers of mornings since that morning when I've gotten in my car to come to work without, but what I have said, Holy Spirit, lead me to know exactly what way I ought to go to work today. I said, Holy Spirit, help me to know what I ought to do today. And that morning, in a little country church in East Texas, I met personally Him who had indwelt me since the moment I received Christ as my Savior. Now, I have a sermon, you've heard it, most of you, called Fresh Oil. I preached it at pastor school numbers of times. I was in New England preaching a few months ago, and As I often do when I preach somewhere, I ask the pastor, is there any particular sermon that I have that you'd like me to preach while I'm here? And the pastor said, yes, Dr. Hiles, I'd like for you to preach on fresh oil. And I said, but pastor, the crowd will not be a preacher crowd. And that's a preacher sermon. And I said, pastor, that's basically a sermon for preachers. And since we'll have, probably 40 or 50 preachers here, but we'll have several hundred lay people. And I said, pastor, I just don't feel like I ought to preach on fresh oil. I do not preach on that to laymen. And I did not. Went to my room that night. And the Holy Spirit seemed to say, turn to Joel chapter 2, and I did. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Not reverend flesh, all flesh. Not preacher flesh, all flesh. Not pastor flesh, all flesh. Not theological flesh, all flesh. All flesh means the carpenter with his hammer. All flesh means the doctor with his scalpel. All flesh means the mason with his trowel. All flesh means the plumber. It means the author. It means the teacher. It means the housewife. It means the maid. All flesh. And then I kept on reading. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my Spirit. Servants! The fellow who cleans the auditorium. That deaf lady who cleans the restrooms here at First Baptist Church of Hammond. The man who works in the steel mill. The fellow who works on the assembly line. The lady who works in the garment shop or the mill. The lady who cleans the motel room. The custodian in the church. All flesh. I fell to my face and said, oh, my God, I didn't know. I didn't mean to. I just thought the fullness of the Holy Spirit was something you preach to preachers. I never thought about preaching. I never have one time in over 30 years of preaching. Not one time have I ever preached a sermon to lay people on the fullness of the Spirit. And so tonight, in the simplest language you ever heard in your life, I'm going to explain to you what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit so not one single child here misunderstands. I promise you, if you've never quite understood the Spirit fullness, I promise you, you will not leave this room tonight. If you listen to me, you will not leave this room tonight without understanding exactly what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So listen carefully. You've never heard anything like this unless you've heard me preach in the last month or two. First came the light. Then came the firmament. The waters above divided from the waters beneath. Then God lit the starry host. The great light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night, and God made the stars also. And then came the fish of the sea. And after that, all the tribes of the animal kingdom. And after that, God was ready for man. He made man in his own image. It was marvelous. Man in the Garden of Eden. Every tree was pleasant to the eyes. Rivers flowed peaceably through verdant valleys. Every sound was a melody, and every scene a delight. There was no war to unrest the breast, and no sickness to cause a fear of death. The leaf never withered. The wind never chilled. No perspiration moistened the brow. And no profanity cursed the ear. There was no weariness. There was no heat. There was no cold. No blossoms were smitten by a tempest. Man had not learned to sigh, nor had man yet learned to weep. No withering frost to chill the rose. No shadow of guilt was ever known. And choirs of birds serenaded man as man enjoyed fellowship in Eden with his God. Yet something was missing. Man needed someone to share with him this beauty. Someone to whom he could say, isn't that a pretty rose? Someone with whom he could say, listen, aren't the birds singing lovely today? Man needed something. Something was missing. God filled his order. There she comes. dressed in all the beauty that a human being can possess. Grace was in her steps. Heaven was in her eye. Every gesture possessed dignity and love. Perfection was stamped on her. The sons of God shouted for joy as she came in her beauty, and the morning stars sang together, and Eden was transformed. Adam and Eve, in perfect bliss, without any sin, without any hatred, without any bitterness, without any lying, without any stealing, without any cheating, without any Playboy magazine, without any disease, without any heartache, without any cancer, without any tuberculosis. They knew not the definition of sorrow. They'd never seen a funeral. There were gardens of perpetual bloom for them to enjoy, and orchards surrendered their fruit daily. There was no incest. No child was dying with leukemia. And garlands of flowers covered their path. And all the time that Adam and Eve were in today's splendor, Jesus was with the Father in the heavens. Torches flared as he walked the golden streets. Trumpets announced his every arrival. Demonstrations dogged his heels. Multitudes adored him. Worshippers bowed before him. Angels ministered to him. The planets sang his praises. All of earth's diamonds could not have filled his crown. All of earth's jewels could not have filled his scepter. All of earth's power could not have made him more powerful. All of earth's beauty could not have made him more beautiful. He, God's eternal Son, living in fellowship that he spoke of when he said to the Father in Gethsemane's garden, "Restore unto me the joy which I had with thee before the world was." And there he is, on earth, man and woman fellowshipping with their God, and Jesus and the Father fellowshipping in the glory land. As four living creatures sang his praises, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." The sun and the moon obeyed his voice. What splendor, what glory, what majesty, what utopia. Then one day, a groan was heard in heaven. You see, trouble was brewing on one of heaven's planets. A race had fallen. A ruin had blighted the world. And now the winds howl and the serpents hiss. And sin, as it always does, wreck and ruin and broke fellowship and destroy. Now on one of God's planets, trouble is brewing. And the only way its inhabitants could be salvaged was for heaven's crown prince to come to earth. Brother Ray, take this microphone, please. I'm going to be God, and you're going to be man. Turn these up, please. I'm going to be God, and you're going to be man. The fellowship in the Garden of Eden is sweet. And we walked and talked in the garden and fellowshiped, and he told me I was his own. And the joys they shared as they tarried there, none other had ever known. Who are you usually in this little skit? God or man?
Man.
You're man. I'm God. I always get the long end of the stick. I'm the producer of the show. And all that. And so one day, man listened to Satan and sin. When man listened to Satan and sin, the fellowship was broken. And God turned his back upon man. But God's mercy said, "I want to forgive man." But God's justice said, "I cannot forgive man." But God's mercy said, "I love him. I want him back. I made him for fellowship." But God's justice said, "I'm holy, and I'm righteous, and I'm just, and sin must be paid for. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Oh, what can I do? I want him back. I want to see man's face again. I made him for fellowship with myself.
But I cannot accept him. Till one day heaven's crown prince came to earth, found a home in a virgin's womb, and lived a perfect life. His eyes never saw that which they should not have seen. His hands never took that which they should not have taken. His feet never trod a wicked path. His ears never heard what they should not have heard. His heart was never tarnished by sin. His mind never had
nor lodged an evil thought. He was the perfect virgin born sinless Son of God. And if you don't believe that tonight, that Jesus is the perfect born sinless Son of God, get saved or go home. You're in the wrong place. And Jesus went to Calvary, and all of my sin and all of your sin was heaped upon Him. He became a harlot for the harlot. He became a drunkard for the drunk. He became a liar for the liar. He became a thief for the thief. He became a crook for the crook. And Jesus on the cross said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And God had turned His back on His own Son. And Jesus cried, as the high priest did on the Day of Atonement, when the sacrifice was accepted, it is finished. And God said, hallelujah, hallelujah. And God's justice and God's mercy hugged and kissed each other. And now God said, I can take Him back. I can take my justice has been met. My holiness has been satisfied. My righteousness has been demanded and met. And now God turned His back and turned back toward man. Oh my. Listen to me. I see signs on our cars. Christ died for us. But before Christ died for us, Christ died for God. Christ died for God. Who wanted the fellowship restored the most? Fallen, depraved, sinful man, or a holy and just and perfect God? God said, I can't take Him back, but I want Him back. And God's justice and God's mercy met at Calvary and kissed each other. Now then, there's a story to tell. Thank you, Brother Ray. Now then, after He fled to a virgin's womb, He had no welcome. The only door was a barn door that was open to Him. He was born in another man's stable, ate at a borrowed table, rode a borrowed beast, slept on a borrowed pillow, cruised in a borrowed boat, was buried in a borrowed tomb. He was the King of Kings, but He had no throne but a cross. He had no crown but a crown of thorns. He had no scepter but a soldier's walking stick. He had no royal robe but a robe taken from a soldier's back. He had no subjects but a jeering mob saying, crucify Him! Crucify Him! He had no place to lay His head. And then the Bible says He took our sins and paid the penalty and was buried for 3 days and 3 nights, and then up from the grave He arose. Now He's going back to heaven. Now here's the story. Please don't miss it. He's going back to heaven. This is a wonderful message. Here's a man right here that needs to hear it. He turned away from his God, and now his God has turned back toward Him because justice and mercy have kissed each other and met on Calvary. And now there's a whole world needs to hear that message. Jesus carefully chose 12 men. Not a theologian in the bunch. Not a preacher in the bunch. He chose a tax collector. He chose some fishermen. He chose the common man. Layman! I said laymen, not preachers, laymen. And He commissioned those laymen, go into all the world and tell this marvelous story of the virgin birth, the sinless life, the vicarious death, the bodily resurrection, the ascension, the high priesthood of Jesus and His coming back to earth again. Tell it! But wait a minute. These 12 men have a problem. Who's going to believe it? Who's going to believe that first point? Virgin birth. Now, folks, these people in all the world didn't have Bibles. They didn't have Oliver Green's voice on the radio. They didn't even have McIntyre. He came 2 years later. They didn't have Brother Olaf. I mean, they didn't have one gospel sermon. These 12 men have to go to the red, the yellow, black, and the white and convince them first that Jesus was born of a virgin.
Now try that on for size. Go to some guy that's never heard about this. Now you and I have heard about it all our lives. My mother used to tell me when I was a kid, son, Jesus was born a virgin. Say it. I said, Jesus was born a virgin. And I thought storks brought babies in those days. I didn't know anything about facts of life. But I said, virgin birth, virgin birth, virgin birth. I cut my teeth on the virgin birth. My mama took her old Bible every night before we went to bed and said, son, this is the word of God. Say it! And I had to say, mama, the Bible is the word of God. I said it three times. Over here in Wheaton, Illinois, I had a debate with a liberal and a compromiser. And me, I represented fundamentalists. A professor from Garrett Seminary in Chicago represented the liberals. A professor from Wheaton represented the confused. And we had a debate. And so we finished the debate, and the professor from Garrett Seminary, the liberal, he said to me, he said, Dr. Hiles, what is your IQ? And I said, I don't know. In the Army, they said it was 141. But I haven't had it taken in a long time. He said, I thought you were a brilliant young man. It's been quite a while since this happened. He said, how could a young man as brilliant as you are believe the Bible is the Word of God? I said, because I'm scared of Mama. I said, if you'd had a mama like mine, you wouldn't be a pagan infidel tonight either. I mean, I had an old-fashioned mama who had made me say every night, this book is God's book, Jesus is God's son, he's the virgin-born son of God. I cut my teeth on it. But now, wait a minute. These 12 guys didn't have you to holler amen while they were out preaching. They had no such hindrances. Don't leave me now because I said that. These men have to go to a world who've never even heard the name Jesus. And they walk up and they say to a heathen, come here, heathen. They say to a heathen, have a good story to tell you. I want to tell you about a man who didn't have a daddy.
Ooh.
He says, boy, I wonder when he got out. Wonder what cell block he's in. Didn't even have a daddy. Wow. This man was born of a virgin. His mother had never known a man. Believe that? Of course he didn't think it. Of course he didn't believe it. Boy, you did a good job. Every word you said was perfect. Of course they didn't believe it. That isn't all. These 12 men have to go out and tell a heathen world that not only was this man who's the Savior was born without a father, his mother had never known a man, and that he was virgin born, but then they had to tell this heathen world that he never one time did one thing that was wrong. Now boy, that's a hunk of thing to believe. You and I can't get past the alarm clock in the morning. Unbelievable. Are you listening? Unbelievable. These 12 men must convince a heathen world that there was a man who was born of a virgin and that that man lived for 33 years and never committed one single sin. That isn't all. They've also got to convince this pagan world that he took upon himself all of our sins, stood before God, condemned, and God turned his back on him, and he suffered in one time on Calvary for all of our sins. And then, we've got to tell him that he was buried. And then the crowning blow, he didn't stay dead. Can you imagine some person down in Mexico saying, no comprende. No comprende. You mean to tell me that you're trying to make me swallow a story that there was a man who was born without a daddy, whose mama never knew a man, who lived a perfect life, who died for our sins, who rose from the dead? No, not me. That isn't all. Then they had to convince him that he just took off up to heaven. Oh. Unbelievable. Who's going to believe it? But God in heaven said, I've got... I think I'm going to shout. God in heaven said, I got an idea. Born in the mind of the eternal God before the world was ever created, I've got an idea. I'll send my Holy Spirit. And while you 12 crude laymen preach this unbelievable message from the outside, I'll have my Holy Spirit talking to them from the inside. That's what the fullness of the Holy Spirit's all about. Here is a message that nobody's going to believe. A virgin birth, a sinless life, a vicarious death, a bodily resurrection, an ascension to heaven, the priesthood of Christ, the second coming of Christ to the earth. Who's going to believe it? So the dear Lord said, while you preach it, I'll have my Holy Spirit saying inside of them, he's right. He's right. You believe him. He's right. Let me illustrate. So the day has come preach. Just preach the gospel.
You don't know you're going to heaven, you're going to burn in hell forever and ever, but
that's
Jesus
right.
came.
That's
he
right.
died on the cross.
Yes.
He lived a perfect life. He
yes,
never sinned.
He's
never
right.
committed one sin in his entire
That's
life.
Right. You believe what
born
that
of the virgin.
Said.
And he died so
this
you could God's be saved.
This is God's man. You
so
believe
you could
him.
Go
you
to
can
heaven when
he
you die
said.
And not burn in hell
That's
forever
right.
and ever.
Amen.
All
That's
you
right.
have to do
believe
ask him.
Him
into
believe
your heart
him.
To save you.
Hey! I bet that'll make you a pretty good preacher when you go home. Oh, but you say, Brother Hiles, I have a hard field. I serve in Maine. And those people in Maine are hard people. You get this inside talking, I bet you believe. That's what it's all about. An unbelievable, miraculous message of grace to fallen man. God says, I have a power available for you. Somebody will talk from the inside while you talk from the outside. That isn't all. That means, Brother Ray, tell Brother Sully how to be saved. Brother Sully, take that mic. Brother Ray, you take this. Brother Sully, you go here. Say pleasure. Right, just tell him, do you know how to be saved, Ray? Okay. Tell him, he's telling you, I'm not.
First thing you have to know is that all of us have sinned.
That's right. Believe him, fella.
And that. That
believe
that there's none righteous, no not one.
This fellow knows about salvation.
All,
what he said
all,
is true.
We've all done something wrong.
Yeah, you're a sinner.
And
yeah.
that means that there's a penalty. There's
that's
a
right.
penalty on that sin.
You believe him, that's right.
And that
yeah.
penalty
that's
is
it.
Death and
trust
penalty.
Him. Believe him. He's telling you the
Jesus
truth.
Jesus paid
yeah.
that penalty.
Hey, that'd make you a soul winner, wouldn't it? Huh? That'd make you a soul winner. See. Here's what you say. I know why Hiles gets all those people saved. It's those promotional days he has. I understood he swallowed a goldfish one day and all the kids came to the thousands. In the first place, I have never swallowed a goldfish. In the second place, I am not ever going to swallow a goldfish. In the third place, the whole world can go to hell before I'll swallow a goldfish. I want them older and pan-fried. But aren't you glad somebody does some of that so you can rationalize for the fact that you don't have anybody talking on the inside while you're preaching? Somebody said, I know what it is. It's that music. First Baptist Church. That's what it is. Boy, it draws those people. Okay. I said, I'll let you borrow every Sunday morning and every Sunday night a different music group from our church. And they'll come and sing and then you too can get a lot of people saved. Somebody said, no, I know what it is. It's all those funny stories. I said, okay, I'll make a list of all the funny stories I have. Both of them. I'll make a list. I'll let you tell one funny story Sunday morning and listen. Why don't you face it? Why don't you go home and look yourself in the mirror and say, I've been rationalizing. Your trouble is not the fact that you need a bigger field. Your trouble is not the hard-hearted folks that live near you. Your trouble is you have never gotten that power upon you. So while you preach from the outside, there's somebody talking from the inside. Brother Ray,
come and sing a solo. Mrs. Colston stepped to the organ, turned that thing on. And, what do you want to sing, Brother Ray? Brother Ray, I said, what do you want to sing? Just as you are. I didn't say, how do you want to sing? I said, what do you want to sing? All right, come on up here.
Just as I am.
This fella is singing the truth to you. That's right. The blood of Jesus was shed for you. It was. He died for you. He loves you, sinner. He died for you. And he bids you right now. Come to him. Come to him, sinner. Come to him. He loves you. He loves you, sinner. Come to him. Boy, that'll change your solo work, won't it? That'll change your solo work. Dr. Rice says that'll make the butter come. Soloist, it'll transform your life. You'll get on your face by day and by night and beg God's Holy Spirit, oh, Holy Spirit of God, speak from the inside while I sing from the outside. And that will be what you call a spirit-filled solo. That isn't all. Brother Colston, would you like to let's see, we have a chap son, come up here, would you please? That's right. Is his dad here? Your dad here? Okay, come on, Dad, come here. Dad, come on. I know he's in the bass section, I wouldn't have had him do it. Fix that microphone right there. And teach your boy that it's wrong to smoke and to drink, and they ought to be clean and pure and work hard and be a good boy.
Son, you know it's wrong to smoke.
Listen to your dad, son.
It's wrong to smoke.
Your dad loves you, son.
If you see a package of cigarettes on the ground, what
That's
are you
right.
supposed to do with them?
Stomp them.
Stomp them. Stomp them. Yeah. Show me how you stomp them. Stomp them.
That's right.
Here, that's
son.
Right. You stomp them, right?
That's right,
you
son. Your dad loves you. He's right.
Cigarettes are bad.
They are bad.
Bad.
Yes, they're bad.
You don't smoke cigarettes.
Don't smoke cigarettes, son. Listen to your daddy. Your daddy loves you, son. Hey, that'll make you turn out some good kids. That boy right there. I went to his room every night that I was home of his life, just about, while he was asleep, and got on my knees beside his bed. And I said, oh, Holy Spirit, while his dad teaches him, make him believe me. Talk from the inside. Well, I talk from the outside. Our country's going to hell because we're rearing our children without the mighty power of God on the parents. Miss Colston, play an offertory. That's something I know. Play it so I can understand it. That's right. There's a sweet time, folks. Call the hour of prayer. You need to pray. It'll help you. Your burdens can be lifted if you pray. Sweet hour of prayer, it'll call you from a world of care. You can go to the throne of God yourself. Yes, you can. That'll change your offertory. Dad sure beats that Bach you play at your church. I'm not against Bach. I listen to classical music every day of my life. I like Bach. My favorite Bach is Carry Me Bach to Old Virginia. I love it. I love it. I love it. I also love Bach in the Hills where I was born. All that kind of classical stuff. I love it. I'm not against Bach, but shout it up in the church house and get Amazing Grace and play it instead. But you say your culture and mine are different. Well, you can confess your sin, get right with God, make it like mine if you want to. What this old world needs is a generation of churches where while the preacher preaches, there's the inner voice speaking. While the singer sings, there's a voice on the inside. While the organist plays, there's a voice on the inside. While mom and dad teach, there's a voice on the inside. That's what this country needs. Don't you think you'd be a new person? When you went to your Sunday school class Sunday, you stood to teach. While you taught that class, there was a voice on the inside saying, that's right. That's right. Believe him. Listen to him.
He's telling you the truth. Oh, we need some spirit-filled Sunday school teachers. Huh. How many folks here are nursery workers? Work in the nursery, raise your hand. Ha, 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 ha. Okay. Okay. Let's suppose a nursery worker. Miss Colson, right where you are, just work in the nursery. Rock the baby. Tell the baby about Jesus. You think that baby understands? Do you think he understands her, that Jesus loves him? Tell him he's a sinner. What do you say? Do you think that baby understood her? Okay. Now you talk to the baby. Jesus does love you, child. Yeah, all of us are bad boys and girls. But Mama loves you. Don't you remember the Bible says John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb?
There's a way you can take a child, as I did this boy right here, and get on your knees while he's six days old. And as I did, I got the Bible. I told him about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. I told him about the fall of man. I told him about Noah and the flood. I taught him all the types of the tabernacle. I taught him more types than God knew about even, the tabernacle. I taught him about the pre-tribulation, pre-millennial coming of Jesus Christ. I taught him about the salvation. I taught him he was a sinner. I taught him he was lost. I taught him that Jesus died for him. I taught him about the resurrection with all of my heart.
I believe God was putting things in his little subconscious mind as the inner voice said, he's right. He's right, son. He's right. You listen to him. Are you safe for the house? How do you get this? The spirit fullness, which enables the Holy Spirit to talk from within while you talk from without. Somebody said, well, all you have to do is appropriate it by faith. And they sold you a wooden nickel.
Now lay me down asleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. I should die before awake, pray the Lord my soul to take. And filled with the Holy Spirit, I believe it, amen. Oh, I got it.
You got something I don't want. Oh, you can get that way. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I challenge every person tonight who stands behind the pulpit and proclaims this message of God. I challenge you to do what I do. You come to my office tonight, you will find across my office something that long, our boy's shop made for me at Hammond Baptist High School. It has three words on it. It says, pray for power. You come to my mirror where I shave every morning, and you will find three words typed and pasted on my mirror. It says, pray for power. You come and look at any one of the 17 Bibles I have in my study that I use for preaching and studying. Pick up any one of them you want to pick up and turn it to the front cover, and you will find the words written there, pray for power. You come to my bathroom at home where I shave, and sometimes in the morning, and you will find on that bathroom mirror the words, pray for power. You open my briefcase tonight, and the first words you will see in my briefcase are the words, pray for power. I shave in the morning, and I say, oh, God, I need your power. Oh, God, give me power, give me power, give me power. Holy Spirit, give me power, give me power. I drive down the street as I drive my car. Oh, God, give me power. Oh, God, Holy Spirit, give me power. Give me power while I preach. Oh, God, for pastor school, I need the Holy Spirit to give me power. All those thousands of people that call me preacher, I've got to have the power of God. Oh, God, give me power. When I teach the Bible, I've got to have the power of God. When I counsel with my people, 150 folks a week come to my study for counsel, oh, God, give me power. I pray 10,000 times a week for the power of God. Oh, God, give me power. By day and by night, I pray, oh, God, give me power. Give me power. Give me power. Give me power. There is a certain thing God wants you to have while you preach and sing and play. God wants you to have. And you're going to have to beg God and plead with God until God... I'm not talking about some kind of something that makes you have a heavenly language. I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned about the Holy Spirit talking to the person to whom you witness in his own language. I'm not talking about some kind of an ethereal... I'm talking about the mighty power of God. That's what I'm talking about. Listen to me. There came to this pastor's school a skeptical Pentecostal preacher. And I have no vendetta tonight, and I'm not going to sing about anybody. I'm not going to try to hurt anybody's feelings.
But you'll notice out in front it does say First Baptist Church. Somebody said to me, I said, well, he said, you preach like a Pentecostal. I said, oh, fool on you. Baptist preachers are preaching on the power of God 1,800 years before there ever was a Pentecostal preacher. I'm not talking about some way where you can talk to God and feel better while you do it. I'm talking about where you talk to man and they feel better about it. Fellow walked inside this auditorium, a skeptic. I expect he's here. Is that brother from New York State here? I want to see him if he's here. There he is back there. Here's the story. That man walked in this building a skeptic. He had talked in tongues, but the power of God wasn't on him. He had claimed to have some kind of a fear and experience. The power of God wasn't on him. He came here thinking that Hiles didn't know what he ought to have, and he had it, and I didn't have it. He sat in the balcony, wasn't it? Here in the balcony one night. I preached on fresh oil. And that man back there, he admitted, he said, oh God, I need the power. I need somebody to give me power while I witness. I'm not doing the job for God. Give me power. Invitation time came. He walked down the aisle. Dr. Ed Nelson was standing up there. He took Dr. Nelson's hand and said, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Was it the next day? Next day, he's walking right down this street here. And a truck stopped. Right? And a truck driver said, hey, fella. And a fella said, what? He said, could you tell me how to be saved? Now, boy, you can have all the fear and experience you want to have. You give me a heap of that, and I'll make it all right. And say what you want to say. That's what the power of God is all about. Jesus died to save sinners. And he wants to talk in from the inside while you talk from the outside. Now then, Brother Colson, let's you and I go soul winning. You take this microphone over here. This is the soul winning microphone right here. Brother Roy, you come here. We're gonna win Mr. Boardway to Jesus. And see, there's the guy got it right then up here in the choir. You know you're a sinner. The Bible says all men are sinners. Holy Spirit, you're going to sit there, you're going to talk.
I didn't know I was the Holy Spirit. Okay,
well, you're not there to be pretty. If you are, you're failing. The first thing I want you to know is you're a sinner.
That's right. Listen to me.
Yes. The Bible says all have sinned. There's none righteous, no, not one.
Realize you are a sinner.
Oh, but there's something else. The Bible says the wages of sin is death.
Yes, it's hell.
The Bible says that if a person dies in his sins, he has to spend eternity without God.
That's right.
Oh, but I've got some good news for you.
It's good.
Jesus came, was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died for you, and paid the penalty for your sins, was buried, and rose again. He's up in heaven, wants to plead your case before the Father right now. Don't you want
to
receive Christ as your Savior
today?
All right. We did it pretty quick, like, but he just got saved. Thank you, fellas. I'm not through with you yet. And so you and I go back, and we go back home. Boy, that was a wonderful experience, wasn't it?
Oh, that was tremendous.
Woo! I tell you, it was great, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Did you notice how all of a sudden, he didn't believe at first, but did you feel the Spirit of God as he's talking to him? Huh?
You could tell it.
You sure could. Woo! Isn't that great?
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God! Yeah. Woo! Now then, hold it. Hold it. This fellow over here says, let those fellows shout. I want that too. So he starts praying. I want, Lord, help me to have that shout. Help me to feel good like them. Are you crazy fool? That's not what it's for. The feeling good is what comes after what it's for. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. You see? And that's where all you folks got all screwed up. You wanting the feeling when the feeling follows the purpose of the whole thing. See? Oh, wasn't that great?
That was,
huh?
That was great.
Oh, I tell you what, I'm going to get my pencil out. Ooh. Package of cigarettes. Oh, boy. I expect the fellow the Holy Spirit uses like he used me and you and I ought not smoke, should he?
He shouldn't.
You gonna, I'll quit smoking if you will. Huh? Let's kneel here. Dear Lord, I'm giving up my cigarettes. You want to give yours up, Brother John? Go ahead.
Okay.
Isn't that great? Okay. So what happens? This guy here sees us and says, hey, you see those guys?
They got sanctified. I want to be sanctified too. Look, dummy. Look, fella. The purpose of this power was talking to the fellow from the inside while we're talking the outside. It's not the sanctification. But the Bible says, he, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. That's what it's all about. That's it.
Oh, you say out of here, I want it so I can, woo, get happy and shout and feel good and talk in a wonderful way and where I can get sanctified.
It's the whole thing.
Whole thing. The purpose is this. Here is an unbelievable message that nobody's going to believe unless
there's a voice on the inside. And all these other things that people talk about so much are only the byproducts, the effects of the mighty power of God. Somebody says, what's so hot about Ohio? I've seen him. He's almost bald-headed. You keep your nose out of my business. He only has two hairs. They're 14 feet long. He just weaves them across the top of his head. Thank God for those two. What's so hot about Hiles? I thought he'd be 6'4" with 235. I came here, I never had seen him before, and I came in, and as the fellows walked out, I said, which one's Hiles? And they said, one doesn't match. He's that kind of fellow. Always a loner. Won't even cooperate with his own staff. Is that Hiles? Are you sure that's not the maintenance man? It's just not what I thought of pastor this big church in some school. I bet he can't preach a lick. And now I have confirmed your suspicion. Can I tell you what's so hot about him? My daddy's grave. I fell face down and said, oh God, I've been a powerless preacher. My daddy heard me preach two sermons, only two sermons he heard anybody preach the last 10 years of his life. He died a drunkard's death and is buried in a drunkard's grave. And I fell on my dad's grave and I said, oh God, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to be a powerless preacher. I'm not going to do it. How long I stayed, I don't know. One of my friends said I stayed several days. Now, wait a minute. He said, did God fill you? I didn't know then. Well, what did you find out? Next Sunday night. I'd never seen anybody saved. I've been preaching for a whole year. Next Sunday night, we signed the invitation to 11:15. You know why? There's somebody talking out there from inside. Same preacher. And now for these 30 some odd years, God has been talking. Well, I talk. I wish you knew how many prayers I've prayed. Let God to do something to you while you're here. I'm not trying to make a Baptist out of you. I'm not trying to swing a net and swallow a camel. All I want is while God's men stand up next Sunday morning, I want the Spirit of God talking from the inside while you preach from the outside. While you dear ladies rock the babies and tell them that Jesus loves them,
I want there to be a voice on the inside speaking to the subconscious of that baby. He does love you. While you sing your solo next Sunday morning, I want there to be a voice on the inside saying, he's right. He's right. He's right. While you play your offertory, I want there to be a voice from the inside of man saying, listen to that. That's right. When you stand before your children at home and try to teach them what's right and what's wrong, I want there to be a voice on the inside saying, listen to your dad. He loves you. 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 I bet you. I've prayed 1,000 times today. Oh, Spirit of God. Oh, Spirit of God. Speak! Tonight! When I speak! I'm no R.G. Lee. Or Bob Jones or Lee Robertson or John Rice. I'm just a country preacher. But hallelujah, blessed be God. I've stood behind this same pulpit almost 21 years. And like a mighty army, they keep marching down these aisles. Because while we preach, and while we teach, and while we sing, and while we play, there's a voice saying, that's right. I've seen them walk in this auditorium, sit back there like that. One little girl, I'm not preaching now, this is just sort of the postscript. One little girl came to our church, Catholic, from a Catholic family over here in Chicago, South Chicago. She went home after Sunday school on one of our buses. Her mother said, did you go to the house of God this morning? And the little girl said, yes, ma'am, and God was home. The priest heard about it. He called the family, went to see him. He said, you can't go there. I won't allow you to go out there at church. Her mother said, oh, okay, honey, you have to go to the priest's church next Sunday. The little girl went to the priest's church the next Sunday. Came home and the mother said, did you go to the house of God this morning? The little girl with tears in her eyes said, yes, ma'am, but God wasn't home today. She said, then I want to send you out to First Baptist Hammond next week. She came out the next week and came home dancing and clapping her hands and said, Mama, God's back home. God's back home. God's back home. Chicago Sun-Times, one of the two big Chicago papers, ran almost a full-page article of the day, sort of slandering our soul-winning program. Told about some lady, Chicago, some society lady. She called in and said, I don't like the methods and tactics of that big church. They called us the Goliath of Hammond, you know, the big church. And don't like the tactics of that church. Her 12-year-old son had come out here the night before. And the mother went to him, and the newspaper put it this way. Mother went to him and said, why didn't you go out there again? Told you not to do it. He said, Mama, because a voice inside kept saying, go back. Go back. Go back. Go back. That's what you need. I want you tonight to make this decision. I want you to decide in your own heart that you're going to go back home, on your mirror, on your kitchen sink, on your ironing board, on the window where you wash the where you stand to wash the dishes, on your vanity, on your car window, on your desk, on the mirror. I want you to type or write and stick there. Pray for power. Pray for power. Pray for power. And I want you to stay up sometimes way into the night and say, oh, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Give me power. Give me power. Now, you'll hear a lot of sermons on the Holy Spirit, and you've heard a lot. But you'll never hear a sermon in your life that more graphically explains exactly what God had in mind. When he said, be ye not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Our Heavenly Father,